Five bitches in the back of the Mercedes. Skirt, skirt, some might even call it a skirt chase. My mistakes, detrimental to the brand. I ain't tripping, nigga. I'ma hit you when I can, I can't. Obviously, I'm a boss, I'm a pimp. Every week, you gon' see another freak with me. In any event, I done had plenty of spin. Many men wanna win, but they never get in. I got girls that I probably won't see ever again. I got hoes, and I'm still fucking all of their friends. What up? I don't care, shut up. Problem with it, step up. Y'all be playing catch up, can't keep up. Comped in, bombed in, please turn the beat up. Buddy boy, YG, will fuck the street up. About to raise the V up, I remember the re up. Faded after the smoke out, buddy bringing the lopes out. Left hand full of C notes, smoking the roach. With my right hand, I'm on a boat, I'm on a boat. Past the remote, I'm changing the channel. She wants some more channel, I just can't. I say no. Long Beach, Compton, from Inglewood to Slauson, we get it poppin'. Every day gotta get this money. You know, do things you do. Ooh, 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 ooh. Ladies, 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 and gentlemen, gentlemen, gentlemen. All right. This your boy. This your motherfucking boy. King Known Uncensored. New Music Fridays. Ain't no cowboy shit over here. Ain't no cowboy. Ain't no cowboy music Fridays. Yeah, that's a good title right there. But all right, we can get to this. This ain't the main event. I'm not going to say it, so it ain't the main event. So, a lot of people, well, I'm not going to say a lot of people. I don't even think anybody even give a fuck about me delivering a Beyoncé album review. But I'm going to just be honest with y'all. A lot of y'all might not like it, and I may be called a hypocrite for this shit. Because, let me set the record straight. I am a Beyoncé fan. I like Beyoncé. I'm a fan of hers. But I'm not a part of the Bayhive. I'm not going to listen to every single thing that she likes. And I'm not going to like everything that she puts out. Here's the thing. Beyoncé just put out an album called Cowboy Carter. I've heard mixed reviews about this. And I decided it was within my best interest not to listen to it. Because here's the reason. You know, motherfuckers tell me, oh man, you just listened to a 24-track Eric Bellinger album. Oh my God, you just listened to Chris Brown when he dropped a 40-track album. Well, here's the thing. The Beyoncé album is an experimental album. That's number one. Number two, I just feel like 27 songs of an experimental album is just way too excessive, and it would be a waste of time, in my personal opinion. No disrespect. I'm just not interested. I'm not being a hater. I'm just being honest. A lot of people, I'm expecting to get hounded by the Bayhive, and I don't give a shit, because just music at the end of the day, man. Like, I ain't interested in all y'all albums and all that shit. But then it's gonna be, oh man, but you wouldn't listen to Cowboy Carter, but you about to do a BFB to Pac-Man review. Man, they try to say, motherfuckers would just say anything on the internet, man. Niggas just say anything. Especially when it comes down to defending an artist that has a cult-like following. Not a cult-like following as far as, like, underrated. I'm talking about a cult-like following as in, like, they'll join a cult. A lot of people would join a Beyoncé cult and drink the Kool-Aid. But no, I am not doing a Cowboy Carter review. Don't ask me to do one, because I will not. Now that we got that out the way, that was easy. Let's get to some real news, man, and some other album reviews that I did do, and some album reviews that I kind of dragged my feet on, but I'm kind of glad I did, eventually get to it. All right, so Draymond Green the other day, you know, he got ejected in a game within the first 3 minutes, I believe, as Draymond Green berated a referee, including calling him a bitch-ass nigga when he wasn't even a nigga. Draymond's ejection got everybody talking. Every analyst, every, you know, podcast is talking about this. And I'm going to give my thoughts on that, you know, because after Draymond got ejected in that game, Steph Curry seemed to be crying. He was crying because it's just like the Warriors are fighting for their playoff lives, and they feel like if Draymond's there, they have a good chance of securing a playoff spot. As I've stated last show, only the Timberwolves, the Nuggets, and the Thunder have clinched the playoff spot. The Clippers have not, and they're fourth. If the Clippers lose out, they could not even make the play-in. That has a chance of happening. Phoenix has a chance of being a play-in team. Sacramento has a chance of being a play-in team. You just never know with seeds 4 through 11 what's going to actually happen and transpire. But, you know, a lot of people feel like Draymond should be let go because this is a constant thing. Nobody can seem to control this man. Nobody seems to want to discipline this man. Nobody seems to want to lay down the hammer pause on Draymond. Because, you know, this ain't just a young, wild nigga. He is an old head style wild nigga that has been getting away with a lot of shit for years. And nobody seems to have done anything about it. Like, I'm the type of person that feels like, okay, if you want to keep a guy like Draymond Green, right? Lower his minutes. Make him a bench player. I have said on previous shows, time and time again, I had to fuck around and tell these hoes that Draymond and Klay should have been coming off the bench. The both of them. I think that with that second unit, you know, if they switched it up and let Steph play with the young cats like Moses Moody, Brandon Podziemski, Jonathan Kuminga, and all them, I truly think that the Warriors would have a better chance in upsetting somebody. Not just the play-in, but the playoffs. I think Golden State, I'd like my chances if I'm Golden State going against the Timberwolves, the Thunder. If it's one of those two teams, I like their chances. But a lot of people think that they should, you know, there's a lot of teams that, I mean, not a lot of teams, but there's a lot of experts, a lot of podcasters, a lot of regular basketball fans that feel like the Warriors should move on from Klay and Draymond Green. I mean, me personally, I wouldn't do that. I would just delegate them to backup leadership roles. Can you imagine if it's Chris Paul, Klay, and Draymond on the floor coming off the bench? That would be amazing. In my opinion, I think that shit could work. You know, the disappointment to me was the fact that the Warriors, this is what's going to come back and bite the Warriors. The fact that they didn't make any moves, because Andrew Wiggins has been mid this season. He has not been the player that they thought that they signed for. Chris Paul had been injured for most of the season. Jonathan Kuminga's stock has risen. And I just feel like they should have definitely, if they're going to trade Klay, Draymond, Wiggins, Moody, Kuminga, one of those guys, they should have did it. But that goes to show you that the Warriors organization is super stubborn and did not believe in themselves quite enough to make that major move that could get this team from a play-in team to a play-off team. Yeah, man. I just feel like it's just like, what are you going to do exactly? You know what I'm saying? You got to dance, people, dance, people, dance. You got to ask yourself a question. If you're the Warriors organization, you want to keep these niggas until their career's over? Or you want to break them up? You want to send Steph to a team that could actually use him? Or you want to keep Steph and build another team, another possible super team around him? The crazy part is the Warriors have the assets, but maybe nobody wanted Draymond. Nobody wanted old ass Klay. Nobody wanted Kuminga or Moody. You never know all of the details. You only know some of the details. But my thoughts is, move them to the bench. Move Draymond to the bench. The less minutes he's out there, the less likely he'll get ejected. That's my theory. But if you want to get rid of him, I mean, like I said, Draymond re-signed. He's a Warrior. He's going to be a Warrior. Until they trade him. Klay Thompson's contract is up. And there hasn't been an extension pause. Oh, man, not my boy Lil Baby. There's speculation out there that Lil Baby painted his nails. I mean, in the video, you can see he paints his middle fingernail was painted. Now, is there a possibility that somebody could have sabotaged the footage and made it look like that? I don't know, folks. It looked real to me. I don't know who's pushing this agenda of men painting their nails, but they really need to stop this shit. That shit's wild. I mean, I don't have a problem with it personally, but it's the agenda and what they're trying to push. A lot of these people might actually be these type of people. If so, then come out. Come out wherever you are, Ollie Oxen free. That's all I'm saying, my boy. Anyway, let's get to more news from the desk of the Woj. Oh, man. Sad, horrible news. Sacramento got dealt two blows this week as far as injuries are concerned. Malik Monk is expected to be out 4 to 6 weeks with a sprained knee. That is a death blow to a team like Sacramento, who is currently on a playoff push, trying to preserve their play-in spot. Could the Kings be the odd man out to let Houston get that final spot? Because they're definitely going to miss Malik Monk's production. Like, he was a spark off the bench. He was one of those guys that are lead candidates for sixth man. He was my second candidate for sixth man. You know, my pick was Naz Reid. But, yeah, that's terrible for Sacramento. Sacramento's in trouble. Meanwhile, yeah, you're going to get production out of Fox and Sabonis all the time and Keegan Murray, but who's going to be that guy off the bench now? Because we know that Keon Ellis is in the starting lineup now. I think that Davion Mitchell's going to be that guy to replace Malik Monk. He's going to get his minutes. And Davion Mitchell's pretty good. Kind of underrated as well. But damn, Malik, that sucks ass. And then Kings guard Kevin Huerter will undergo season-ending left shoulder surgery to repair a torn labrum. Huerter is expected to be fully recovered for the start of the 2024-2025 season. Damn! Now, Huerter hasn't had his best season. This is probably one of his worst seasons as a pro, in my opinion. But he's still a guy, like, if he hits one basket, all he needs is one shot. And he's going to hit, like, three or four more crucial baskets down the stretch. And that's another big loss for the Kings. Like, their depth at guard is thinning. Because now you got Fox, you got Ellis, you got Mitchell at your guard spots. So a lot of those guys are going to, the minutes is going to be packed on. And then, you know, Harrison Barnes is probably going to play more minutes at the two guard position. That would be my guess. But that's another terrible blow for Sacramento. I don't know, man. I think they're automatically going to be a first round out. And I mean that with all due respect. Or if they get to the play-in, they might not win out the play-in. Now that you got two guards off your team that, you know, Malik is a walking 15 a game. Kevin Herter's like 10, 11 points. 3-4 threes a game. It's just sad. And that sucks for Sacramento. Because I expected them to go on an interesting playoff run. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something, man. It's a slow-ass news week. Tell you that right now. So if this episode is a little bit shorter than you want to, deal with it. Let's see. So Gabe Vincent is returning to the Los Angeles Lakers this year. He's finally playing. Yeah, he's been out for quite a while. He's been upgraded to questionable for, he's playing tomorrow night, Sunday night, Easter Sunday, against the Brooklyn Nets. So, you know, Gabe Vincent was an acquisition throughout the offseason that is, you know, that went to the finals with the Miami Heat, but he hasn't gained any traction on the Lakers due to the injuries that he sustained. So, let's see if he can contribute better than what Dinwiddie's been doing, which leads me to Dinwiddie. Is it me, or has Spencer Dinwiddie been disappointing on the Lakers? Now, he alluded to this kind of in a sneak diss kind of way. He says in L.A., he can't play like Spencer Dinwiddie. And I knew exactly what the fuck he was talking about. Dinwiddie's not allowed to, how can I put this, do what he does, basically. Like, on the Nets, Dinwiddie was allowed to be him. But it seemed like with the come up of Cam Thomas and Dennis Smith Jr., Spencer was lost in the sauce. So, kind of like a double-edged sword. Despite Dinwiddie, you know, saying that he chose playing with the Lakers over the Mavericks, you know, he compared the two and said basically in a nutshell, playing for the Lakers was better, playing better for them than playing for the Mavericks. And it's looking like it's been a mistake, because Dinwiddie has flopped in LA, in my opinion. Time for the main event. Y'all been patiently waiting, just like an AIDS test. What's the result? Not positive. Who the best? Pot, not as big. Ado best. East, west, north, south, lost out, greedy. I embrace y'all with napalm. Yeah. You get the shit. I could have rapped that shit a lot better, but I don't really give a fuck at this point. Obviously, you can hear it in my tone, right? But we got new music Fridays. This ain't Texas. Nah, nigga, you ain't getting that review, nigga. But, in complete hypocritical fashion, the first album that I'm reviewing is a 24-track album. So, Eric Bellinger, I mean, if y'all are not familiar with him, he is a R&B singer from Compton. Very great, underrated vocalist who's wrote for today's who's who of R&B niggas. You know, sang back up with Usher on the Tiny Desk. And he dropped a double disc album called The Rebirth 3, The Party in the Bedroom. Let's get to it. The Rebirth 3 intro, this was cool. All for me, this was pretty good. Gang Slide with Mozzie, this shit got hit potential, in my opinion. Drop featuring 7 Streeter. Man. This another song with big hit potential. All of that, this was pretty cool. I fuck with it. Don't Play With It, this was a good album filler. La Perla, this was alright. Body on Mine was fire. Inside My Bed was dope. Run That Back with K-Camp. Like, it seems like when he teams up with certain features, like, you can see the hit potential in this one, too. Like, Eric Bellinger and K-Camp. Unlikely duo, but it works. Perfect Picture. This was cool, man. I like this song a lot. Writer's Block. Writer's Block did not have Ty Dolla $ign on it. I'ma just tell it to you right now. If he had background vocals, I could barely hear it. But Writer's Block is one of my favorite songs on here. And why am I not surprised? It's Rodney Jerkins. Pause. But it's Dark Child, nigga. Why am I not fucking surprised? I knew that production sounded familiar. Find Someone, this was cool. Mutual Agreement with Queen Najee. I'm just not a fan of Queen Najee. I'm just sorry, y'all. Sorry, Detroit. Nothing personal. But, this song is just okay. Sage with Neo. Neo and Eric Bellinger have not missed as far as their collaborations are concerned. Feenan, I mean, everybody samples Jodeci at this point. So, Bellinger did his thing on this. Nasty was fire. Your Mind Interlude was dope as hell. Top Tier featuring Tone Stiff, this was mid. Do Your Thang, this was fire. Love this song. Reciprocate, this was cool. Backstage featuring Zay France, this was cool. Finders Keepers was great. Anyway was good. all in all, this double album from Eric Bellinger, I mean, this dude's consistency with not only just dropping albums every year, but matching the quality even with 24 tracks. Because here's the thing, making albums more with more than 18 tracks could be a gift and a curse. The gift is if it all works out and the track flow, I mean, the tracks flow smoothly and it's not too many skips on it. When a 20 plus track album works out, it works out pretty damn good. And this is one of its cases right here. So the Rebirth 3, The Party in the Bedroom, it did everything that it was supposed to. You know, these are the set of tracks that I would go to. If I look for some tracks that's bouncing, and then, you know, you got some tracks where you and your lady are in the bedroom doing your thing. And this is what Bellinger brought to the table. All right. Let's see. What's next on the list? All right. Buddy dropped his new album, Don't Forget to Breathe. If you're unfamiliar with who Buddy is, Buddy is a rapper and a singer from Compton, California. We got two Compton niggas in the building. And I feel like, I don't know what it is, man. I guess it's due to lacking of maybe commercial success as to why he's not mentioned as one of the better rappers out here, because he is. Buddy is dope. Like, I really like his album, Harlan and Alondra. Like, that's one of the most underrated albums that I've ever heard. But let's get into Don't Forget to Breathe. Free My Mind, this was dope as fuck. Definitely enjoyed that record. Like This, just some super cool ass shit. Do Things is the actual song I played in the intro. And Do Things, yeah, that shit is getting a shit ton of spins. I'm definitely going back to that one, especially. Talk About It featuring BJ the Chicago Kid and Kent Jams. Album filler. Buddy a Fool, I like when rappers talk in third person about themselves. Get It All featuring Pineapple City, dope. Smoke featuring Garen, this was a filler, straight filler. Not trash though, but a filler. Move On, the hook is just so catchy on here. And of course the subject matter. Should Have Known featuring Cedric and Smino. Decent song. Got Me Started featuring Huey Briss. This was dope. This was dope as fuck. All the Way, this was pretty good. You to Thank, the final closer. It's an up-tempo dance record. I was feeling that. All in all, Don't Forget to Breathe. This is not his best work, but I would definitely suggest people check it out at least. You know what I'm saying? There's some bangers on here. There's a few good records on here. And, you know, Buddy showcases his range of talent throughout this project. And I'm definitely going to listen to more than I'm not going to listen to, if that makes any sense to y'all. The last album review that we're going to do, we got BFB the Pac-Man, Flint, Michigan's own, with his new album, Forget Me Not. We're going to get into it. Let's see what Michigan got from my home state. Me personally, you know what? Let me just get through the album and then I'll talk about him as a rapper. All right, we got Shame featuring Young T.O. BFB the Pac-Man was killing it on this song. I'll give him props, but T.O.'s hook, I was a little disappointed in T.O. Yeah, because all he's talking about is putting Molly on a girl's tongue throughout the hook, and I'm just like, okay, yeah, because listen, man, like, I was a SOB RBE fan. Like, I was a fan of their music, and T.O.'s hooks was always, like, incredible, and this one was kind of disappointing. Kind of took down the value of the track a little bit. Rice, man, that nigga BFB was going crazy on Rice. The bars were there. He was killing it. Olympic Shit Talking featuring Rio the Young OG. That I think Rio's another rapper from Flint who's currently incarcerated. I could just tell that he was rapping from jail. I think he's in there for another year, if I'm not mistaken. Could be wrong. I know a lot of y'all Detroit niggas might jump down my fucking case about this. But Olympic Shit Talking, I just wish it was a minute. Pause. It was a minute longer. If it was a minute longer, this would have been way better. But they do their thing on here. Don't get it twisted. I definitely enjoyed the song. After Eminem, I did not like how, I'm not gonna front. I don't like how the next episode was sampled on here. This song sampled the next episode. I did not like this beat. Not gonna hold you. The song is okay, you know. I guess this is just him saying he's the best rapper out of Detroit since Eminem. I mean, if that's what he's proclaiming, you know, I respect the confidence, even though I don't agree with him, but that's pretty much the concept of the track. Gilly Fest, you know, I guess he's referring to, you know, Gilly's event that he throws in Philadelphia all the time. This is mid. DeLulu featuring DDG. I ain't gonna front. DDG had a good verse. And I am not a fan of DDG as a rapper at all. But to hear Halle Bailey's nigga talking the shit that he's talking on this song is fucking hilarious to me. Heavy Fraud featuring Skilla Baby, mid. A lot of y'all might not like how I feel, but I think Skilla Baby's overrated, in my opinion. Like, they make these rappers seem like, you know, and I understand, you know, I live in Michigan, so I hear hype, the hype trains all the fucking time. But I just don't see what they see in Skilla Baby. It's the same way with Babyface Ray. I just don't see what them niggas see in dude. He a hype, but nah. Heavy Fraud, mid. Grocery Freestyle, this was okay. On Your Bad featuring O3 Greedo, this is the girl song. BFB going crazy on here. Spud the Jeweler featuring Babyface E and Crispy Life Kid. This was okay. Yo, BFB and I can't tell between Babyface E and Crispy Life Kid, but the person that was on the first verse, I believe that was BFB. And the person on the second verse was killing it. I gotta give props to that guy, whoever which one it is. Like, the first and the second verse was fire. Hopeless Island, this was like the introspective song. This was cool. Ice Pack with Icewear Vezo, this was dope. Lean Break 2, it kind of reminds me of that song on the Dreamville album. I think it was called 1993, where, you know, he spit like four bars and then he just started laughing, or he would have like an interlude in between. Good concept, but not the best song. Kentucky Love featuring Babyface E and Crispy Life Kid. I definitely heard this song. I definitely heard this record before in Detroit. I definitely heard it. I assume this is the single because that's the record. You know, I constantly hear this song, Kentucky Love. This shit is fire. I gotta give it up, man. Pause. This shit was dope. Grind Hard Therapy featuring Starlito was fire. I see what niggas was seeing in Starlito back in the day. I wasn't into Starlito and Don Tripp. I wasn't into those guys back then, pause, but I understand why Starlito and Don Tripp had such a cult following. Them niggas was nice. But yeah, BFB and Starlito definitely bodied the final track on here. All in all, Forget Me Not by BFB the Pac-Man. I like BFB the Pac-Man because he's different. He really don't... I mean, you see a lot of Bizarre in him. If you're not familiar with who Bizarre is, you know. That was a rapper that was in Eminem's group D12 back in the day. Who would just rap some of the most vile and grotesque raps that you would hear on record at that particular time. He really pushed the envelope for crazy shit said on the record. And I see a lot of that in him, boss. But this is an overall project, though. I was just a little bit disappointed because Fat Niggas Need Love 2, the album that he put out previous to this, that was a slapper. I definitely overlooked that album. But Forget Me Not is not a bad album, though. I'm definitely coming back to more songs than I'm not coming back to. If y'all catch what y'all catching what I'm saying. It's not a complete waste of time. I definitely suggest you check this project out. Don't get me wrong. But I wouldn't put it in my album of the year or nothing like that, you know what I'm saying? But alright, y'all. That is my show for the day. It's a very short episode, but fuck it. This is King Known Uncensored. New Music Fridays. Ain't no cowboys. And I'm gone.